Okay, good morning. I'm sorry about this morning. Kit, I came into double duty as far as being in front round COVID-19. So he and his wife decided to just hide away for a while and take care of that. They've been tested and they're both doing okay. But they'll be back, and he'll be back Wednesday. And of course, you'll be gone Wednesday, won't you, Jimmy?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Leaving until tomorrow morning.
All right. Jimmy's visiting with us from Florida, visiting Phyllis. So give her our love.
I will.
And
I will.
Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and then go into some wonderful hymns. Let's first of all pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How great we are, Father, for your love, your joy, especially the joy, Father, and the love that you pour into our soul. Father, we pray that this morning will be glorifying to the Lord, glorifying to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, let's first go into hymn.
Hymn 33, in the hymn book, hymn number 33, To God Be the Glory.
Here we are.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved the world that he gave us his Son. He yielded his life, atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
The creation, the purpose of God, to every believer, the promise of God. The world is a tender, who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. He hath taught us. Great things have done, a great rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Higher and greater will be our wonder, our mystery. Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Good morning. A reading of the scriptures from Romans 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, who also we have obtained our introduction by faith in this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But even God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
All right, this one should be pretty straightforward. Turn with me to number 441. I know we haven't sung Trusting Jesus in a long time, but it is a very simple song to sing. It's easy to follow. 441, Trusting Jesus.
Every day, trusting through a sorry way, even when my praise is low, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moment flies, trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him on every fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine, into this poor heart of mine. Where He leads, I cannot. That is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him for every fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Praying Him that be clear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him
Thank you. Now, first of all, we have our guest here, Jimmy from Florida. We're glad to have you. And let's see. Next, first of all, prayer request. Do you have any prayer requests? Yes.
Yes. Keep just in your prayers.
Absolutely.
We can't get her oxygen. She can't get her oxygen levels up. So they're working on that this morning. But she's probably going to end up having to go to the hospital and get checked.
She'll probably be what?
Leslie may be taking her to the hospital because her oxygen levels since yesterday have been.
It was bad yesterday. I know it was bad yesterday.
We've been working on it, making her walk, and she's gotten oxygen, you know, and stuff. But it's not. The numbers aren't coming up.
Yeah, is she over COVID?
Oh yeah, she is, but you know,
yeah, she's having results.
Yeah, I think this is cause from post COVID, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, Well, we'll continue being in prayer for Tish.
Herman, I have a praise report.
Okay.
As everybody knows, my daughter had a stroke, and she went in last week and had the incision and replaced that carotid artery. But she went to the doctor yesterday for a checkup, and she said people were just coming in wheelchairs, and her doctor is just absolutely amazed. She walked in, and she was laughing, and he said, "I'm telling you, I didn't even know that you were going to make it."
Yeah. Oh, that is a praise report.
Yeah, that's a huge praise report.
Amen.
She said, "I am so blessed." And I said, "No, we're blessed. You would be in heaven, but we would be missing you."
Well, you have a funny way of encouraging, but anyway.
That's true. She didn't
say that. I agree.
One hurt.
Yes.
My brother-in-law, David, is in the hospital for COVID pneumonia.
Oh, wow. How old is he?
He's the same age as I am. He's 60.
Oh, young man.
Yeah, so he went in like a week ago, was in the ICU, and just got put into regular hospital room.
What are they giving him, Morgan?
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't got that kind of details.
What's his first name?
David.
David. Be in prayer for David. My goodness, good. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Gigi has a niece named Eileen, E-I-L-E-E-N, for
prayer email.
Prayer email.
Forgot Leslie's name for a second.
Yeah. I'm taking notes for Leslie, by the way. Okay. She's not
But she's pregnant with twins. She's in her 31st week, and she's having complications. And they're giving her steroid to help the babies develop lungs faster, because they think they're going to have to come early. And so anyway, Gigi's niece Eileen for her pregnancy.
Where does Eileen live?
I think in Florida, but
that's what I was wondering. Yeah. Okay.
She's married to one of the nephews that's in the service.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
I have a prayer request for Tana.
Okay.
She, 2 days ago, she called and told me she was sick.
She's sick. Oh.
She's with her mother, but she took the third booster COVID vaccine and put herself in, she was in bed now.
Yeah.
We'll be in prayer. Thank you very much.
That was 2 days ago. Do you know how she's doing today?
No, I was going to check.
Okay.
Keep us posted through Leslie. Good. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes?
Well, the update, not praise report, and another one is continuing request for prayer. The first one is the saga on the word Job, the text-to-speech, hit a roadblock with the ADA. So I'm doing more research with the YouVersion, the developer, Phil Fields. I don't know if any of you actually listen to his podcast. But anyway, now please continue to pray that we will find the right person who can give us the snippet of the code to make the internet read the word
Job
as the name Job instead of Job.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't know what it takes, but once we stumble on this, we feel compelled that it's something that we need to fix because it's all over the internet. Unless you actually have a pre-recorded voice like the Rockman Foundation, they read it.
Uh-huh.
Or the Our Daily Bread .org, they read it out.
Uh-huh.
So they don't use the same mechanism as the normal people who would just go online, and if you actually have visual impaired, you have to have the text-to-speech
uh-huh.
to read it out, but it's going to read Job instead of Joe.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the second one is for Willard Cooper and Nancy Cooper. Willard is Brian's uncle. And that's a continual prayer for Nancy to be placed in the proper long-term care.
So she's looking for a long-term play. Okay.
Right. That she's been suffering from a dementia type, Parkinson's disease, and she's going downhill really fast.
So what do you want the prayer to actually be? Is it that they find the right facility?
Yeah, the right affordable facility. In Tulsa, there are not that very many facilities that can take her, and all of them are very expensive. So we just pray that it's the right one, that God would deliver, and she is a very strong believer, but she's really suffering right now.
That's in Oklahoma also, right?
Yeah, in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay. Your prayer. Yes.
Martha gives thanks that her right knee surgery went well last week, and now she's getting ready to have the left knee done. So keep her in prayer.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Wow. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Now, next Sunday, big day, in a lot of respects. First of all, it's the first Sunday of the month, and so we'll have communion next Sunday, and then we'll have time. We're going to be doing the meat, the chili paste.
Martha, yeah. Are you listening?
And so please bring a little money, but bring your appetite over. And
we're going to have four different kinds of chili.
Four different. All right.
And Chris and Lori, I hope, said some of their crew would be here to help serve.
Good.
So.
Okay.
And then we're going to have one chili will be called Lila's birthday.
Hi, how about that?
Make it spicy.
It's got to be a little spicy. And so next Sunday, Lila's party here. She's already there, but we're having a big party, her 90th birthday. However, she's so busy. I mean, she's just busy. She may be gone next Sunday, but maybe not. So we're going to hope you'll be here so we can party.
Anyway.
Yeah. So we'll see if we can do that. All right.
And today is Eve's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Eve. Yeah. And she's not here partying. Yeah. All right. Yeah, there's just too many parties. Okay. I pray, and I do pray, that the people of this church are worshiping the Lord with our internet. And we have too many things we need to be in prayer for. So let's begin with our offering this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will continue using these offerings for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Hearing and understanding the gospel, hearing and growing in the word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Ready for another hymn?
Yeah. I believe everybody's got a copy of Son of My Soul that I passed to you. Alright, straight at it here. It's not fast, it's not slow.
We don't know it.
That's just...
To hide me from thy servant's heart.
Now, before we go into prayer and our study today, we're going to be seeing about prayer tonight, today, and then when we get back to starting into Hebrews and studying about prayer, I'm just a firm believer in prayer, been in prayer all my life, and one of the great joys of heaven is that we can get down and pray for one another in various problems. Now, we've done a lot of talking about people, and but we're just not mentioning Phil. Now, Phil is in the battle, and he's hoping that one day the doctors will have a day to get him and do him some medicine. So tell me how things are going.
We are still just trying to get procedures scheduled, and that's the main thing.
Okay.
The two procedures done, and we're not on the books for either one of them.
Okay. But you're two of them.
Two of them, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. We'll be in prayer. Okay, let's go into prayer for Phil and for each other, and then pray in regard to the Holy Spirit and our study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God, how grateful we are for the privilege to pray for one another, to know, Father, that we can pray to you and that you hear prayers. Father, we pray now that as we go through our study, that your Spirit will open our eyes and let us see things that you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay. I was thinking of the title for this morning. She just likes to have titles. And so I've got to come up with titles. And this one, Being Filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to be doing that again, chapter 4, later on. But right now, Being Filled with the Holy Spirit is a title. So let's take a look at our closing down of the chapter 1. We've spent too much time on chapter 1, but well, not really, never too much time, but a lot of time. And we got to get moving on chapter 2 and moving into Ephesians or Hebrews. So let's get to work. Paul's prayer in Ephesus, Ephesians 1:15 through 21. First, we have the love of Christ on the cross. His love on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But when his power is the issue, we turn to his resurrection. And that's what we're going to be looking at. And have been looking at for the last four Sundays. This is what Paul prays for as to his own understanding. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So that he would know him and that I would know the power of the resurrection. And this is what I pray for every one of you. That you may come aware of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And God wants us to know so well, not just his power at the resurrection, but his exalted authority at the right hand of his position in the right hand of God. Not only did the Father make him known to us in this resurrection, but also his exalted throne. Now, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, which he brought about in Christ. He, God the Father, brought it about in Christ, which he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right, his God the Father's, his right hand in the heavenly places. He wanted us to know his love on the cross, and then he wants us to know his power. All divine power is from our position in Christ. The same power that raised Christ in his resurrection is the same power that is operational in every believer's life right now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, far beyond all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. We'll be taking a look at the concept of the names in Hebrews chapter 1, but this is in this text. Jesus Christ is above all the rule and authority of angels. Jesus Christ is above all the rule and over all the authority of all angels, as well as here on earth. That refers to the fact that Jesus is separated to and superior to or above all categories of angels, all of them, fallen angels, elect angels. This is far more rule and authority and power and dominion than all the angels, as per Hebrews, where it said now in our passage, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Jesus Christ is far above all rule and all authority. There is, and people, I want you to remember this, even today, with all that's going on in the world politically, Jesus Christ is in rule authority. He's the part of the power in all of this. There is no equality among the angels. There is no equality among angels realm, even as there is no equality among humans. So there's no equality here. Angels are not equal, and humans are not equal. So we have to understand that. So, we have the principle of the superiority of angels over man until Jesus Christ comes. Remember this inequality among angels when we study Hebrews chapters 1 and 2. So here, I've been doing, as you can tell, a lot of studying in Hebrews. So here we have a reference to the superiority of angels. But remember that the humanity of Jesus Christ as the right hand of God and the Father, he is superior to all angels. Now the thing I want you to get in your mind is a human being is above all angels. That human being is Christ. He is above all angels. He is superior to all the angels, but together and put together and separated from them in every way, he is superior. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Jesus Christ is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, church age, but also in the one to come, the next dispensation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put angels in subordination under the humanity of Jesus Christ. Under his feet, all angels, and put him as head above all things of the church. Angels, and then of the church. Now let's take a look. First we said the phrase, and he put. So, he put them under the subordination, under the God-man Jesus Christ, that is, under his humanity. Putting angels under authority of humans. I hope that means something to you. They are superior to us in so many ways. Creation, knowledge, so many things. But God now put a man, a human being, superior to angels. Because of the incarnation, any member of the human race under the incarnation will be superior to any and all angels. Think about that. It doesn't mean a whole lot right now. But in our heaven, in our eternity, we will be superior to even angels. The humanity of Jesus Christ will be above the church forever. What is interesting here is the Greek word heaven, head. He's the head above the human race. The ideal of a head. Sometimes this does refer to the head in our body, but here it refers to authority. It's saying that Jesus Christ will be in absolute authority over the church forever. This passage is defining for us Jesus Christ is the authority of angels. He's the authority of all human beings, even believers in the church. All things in subordination under his feet, and gave him as head above all things the earth. Now verse 23, which is his body? Okay, the church, go back to verse 22. Ending verse 22, church, verse 23, which? Church, which is his body. So it's talking about the church, the church that we are part of is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Now I hope you're able to understand if I can make this clear to you. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, first of all, which is his body. I hope you stay in the context here. To the church, which is his body. Here is the fullness by the plan of God, a bride for him. That is a bride for Jesus Christ. The bride for Christ is the church. I wish you would think of yourself as part of the bride of Christ every day. Whatever you think, whatever is going on of adultery, fornication, homosexuality, all these types of things, that in each of these, please remember you're involved in sinning against Jesus Christ, the one that you're married to. The church is the bride of the last Adam. The church is the bride of the last Adam. By God, the first Adam did not have a bride, but God fulfilled him by bringing him through his rib, a wonderful woman. He fulfilled him, and she completed him. He fulfilled him, and she completed him. Well, it is not good for man to be alone. and God brought a completion to last Adam, the church. And if you understand this, then you should know that your happiness, your blessing that you have every day, responding, is found from you in responding to Jesus Christ. I got a little personal here. I don't usually do this. I was 7 years of old when I came into Christ as a blessing, and my joy was fulfilling my relationship with Christ. And then, 67 years later, I fulfilled Judith, and she completed me. People, please know that we are in Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a member of the rib of Christ, which is the church. He has eternal life. Now you share His eternal life. You share His righteousness. You share His heirship. You share His sonship. You share His election, His destiny, His priesthood. You share everything. That's what the marriage with Christ is about. If we are not responding to Him, if we're not responding to Him in our life, we are not fulfilling this relationship, then we are searching for the wrong relationships. The dominion which refers to the church, the church which the singular indicates that every believer is part of the bride of Jesus Christ. The church which is His body, the fullness of Him, or the fullness of the One. That's the correct way of reading it. Referring to Jesus Christ, who fills, F-I-L-L-S, who fills all in all. That is the fulfillment of the church. A lot of people have trouble with this phrase, so I want to be sure you get it. It's the fulfillment of the church. The whole purpose of the church age is to fill the age of Jesus Christ. Why are we here? To fill the age of Jesus Christ. People like to talk about when the rapture will occur. Is the rapture going to occur tomorrow? Is the rapture going to occur next week? Has the rapture already occurred? On and on and on. In simplicity, when the last person needed to fulfill Christ believes in Jesus Christ, then the church age is full and over, and not before. Every deficiency of the church is filled in Jesus Christ. That's what it's being done now. The word is fulfilled means to be fully possessed, but as Jesus Christ fully possessed that the church, which is His age, which is His body, fills in all. That is, by believers in the church age, by means of all. That is, by believers of the church age. This means that at some point, the body of Christ in the church age will be complete, which with those who believe in Jesus Christ, when there is that number completed. So, you want to quick the rapture? Every person should be busy telling others about Jesus Christ, bringing them into Savior of Him, until the church age is filled completely with the number that is going to take to be filled for Jesus Christ. The fullness of Him that filled in all. church age filled by the presence of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:19. Now, what I'm doing here, taking some things on the ideal of being filled. F-I-L-L, filled. Ephesians chapter 3:19. That you may be filled with all the fullness of Him. What exactly is that? It's a doctrine of sanctification. We'll see it when we get there. That you may be filled with love, to be filled with the fullness of God, giving the full purpose, result of the prayer, with the fullness of the love of Christ. With this, this refers to the fulfillment of the divine purpose, the complete attainment of Christ, ultimate purpose for the whole universe in Christ and through Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. He may be known to us, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He set forth in Him regarding His plan of the fullness, that's the fullness of time, to bring all things together in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. Now we go to Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. The purpose of knowing the fullness of God in the love of Christ. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. That he might fill all things, and that means to fill all knowledge. Jesus Christ filling all, supplying the church with the gifts necessary to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Let me get something to drink here. There we go. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was to be given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then we go to the famous Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I think most of you know this verse. In this state of being filled, you can commune with God and understand He will be speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs through the teaching and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not speaking in tongues. This is not talking about tongues. It says so. It tells you what it's for. It's for speaking with one another in psalm, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Let me just quickly add, even if you can't sing, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can sing to one another. The believer is contrasted here between wine and the Holy Spirit. That's what's contrasted, the wine and the Holy Spirit. The emphasis is not on the contrast of wine and the Holy Spirit, but to what happens when one is filled with wine and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's one or the other. The opposites of intoxication with drink and exaltation in the Holy Spirit, which results in hymns and in Psalms. Okay. What did God do? as we close out Ephesians chapter 1, what did God do through Jesus Christ for our benefit? I've only come up with 7. There are more. 1, He raised Jesus from the dead. 2, He seated Jesus at the place of higher honor, highest honor. 3, He gave Jesus power and authority over all earthly and angelic authorities. He gave this to Jesus Christ. 4, gave Jesus the highest authority over God's people, the church, which is the body of Christ. 5, He has given every believer confidence of His calling, great riches, and His inheritance. That's what you have. Don't ever be upset, nerve, scared. This is what you have confidence from God. 6, God has sealed every believer with the Holy Spirit. Every believer is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then 7, God, by His grace, has given everyone who believes redemption and forgiveness of sins. Those are the 7 things dealt with now. Something else I want to talk about in Ephesians chapter 1, pastor's prayer. Everyone should be in prayer for one another, especially in today when so many are not able to come in here and worship together with us, but be in prayer for one another. But in the study of this book, every pastor should be in prayer, daily prayer, for the members who come and worship with the assembly he has led by the Lord. Throughout the history of the Old Testament, take all his years through the Old Testament, there are a multitude of prayers for others to come to the Messiah. Just to come to the Messiah. Come to Him as Savior. This will be part of our prayers in understanding Babylon. That after the many people were believed in Christ as Babylon, Assyria became believers. Going to be nothing more. That was it. No Jesus Christ, no Holy Spirit, nothing like that, but they have eternity. Egypt. But people, you will understand the fullness of the prayers for those who believe in Jesus Christ in the church age. Believers in need of daily prayer in their Christian life. We need to be in daily prayer for each other. In dealing with the prayer list of the pastor, 1, a prayer of thanksgiving for the faith and love for one another. 2, to pray in thanksgiving for each one, each day, in their spiritual life. 3, prayers that God the Holy Spirit will give His people wisdom and insight into the mind of Christ. That's another way of saying, but another way of people, I think, get a little tired with Bible doctrine. I don't. I think it's applicable and fantastic. But in case you've got that too much and you don't understand it, it involves wisdom and insight into the mind of Christ. That's what you want. 4, and praying that God's people will know in their hearts and minds the confidence of his calling, being saved, and then the wealth from Jesus Christ and their future inheritance, what's coming, that his people will know and apply the greatness of the power of Jesus for their own lives, your own lives. Now, this is so important for everyone that not less than 12 blessings occurred the moment you first believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. So we're going to take a look at them. We're getting 12 blessings that every one of us have been given the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. 1, called. We are called or invited to come to faith in Jesus Christ. We are called or invited, everyone is, to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:1, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. 2, chosen. Chosen, that's different than being called. Chosen. When we first believe in Jesus Christ, we became one of God's elect, and this means you were elect forever. Forever! You cannot lose it. Maybe you won't respond with the Lord in your life. Maybe you do not live Christian life. But if you are in Christ, been chosen of Christ, you got it forever. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? In other words, who's going to become charge against another believer? God is the only one justified. If you're in Christ, he's the only one. 3. Blessed. Blessedness. Or excuse me, blameless. Blameless. The requirement to be part of God's family. We are blameless and given full righteousness. Ephesians 1:4 again. Just as he chooses us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him by his doing. But let's all add to that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made him who knew no sin, he being God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what happens in our salvation. 4, adopted. We have been accepted into the family of God as an adult son. Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5, he predestined us to adoption. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, with that in mind, give a little clarify it. For you have received, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you have received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, grace, number five, grace. Given the grace. All our new position in Christ is made possible only by the grace of God. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise, to the glory of His grace, to the praise of the glory of His grace, with which He favored us with us in the beloved. Ephesians 1:7, Him who made redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians, of course, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And six, let's just be sure we've got the ones we've got. We got called, we got chosen, blameless, adopted, grace, now six, redeemed. Prior to coming to faith, we were part of the slave world. We have to be purchased out of slavery. This is coming up next in our Ephesians chapter 2, first four verses. We had been purchased out of slavery, out from under condemnation, before we could be set free. To Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of His grace. Seven, forgiven. Complete pardon comes by grace and faith, made possible by being redeemed. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings according to the riches of His grace. And Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Eight, enlightenment. We've all received enlightenment. We have been granted spiritual insight into the mind and the purpose of God. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This is what I pray all the time for every one of you. Be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope, the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And you can have that, but you've got to stay with the Word of God. John 1:9. This was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every person. 9, heirs. We have been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ, with the promise of a future inheritance as a child of God. Ephesians 1:11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things in accordance with the plan of His will. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I want to repeat that one. That's my daily prayer for you. I pray that the eyes of your heart, that comes by the take of the Word of God, may be enlightened so that you will know that what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. 10, destined. God has predetermined our destiny as believers in Christ. Now I want you to know something. Know for certain that no one is predetermined to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. No one is predetermined to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. But once you have believed in Jesus Christ, once you make that decision, you share the predestination of Christ. Christ is the one who's predestined. We are not predestined outside of Christ. When the believer person decides to believe in Jesus Christ, at that moment we share the predestined of Christ. Once they believe in Jesus Christ, they are predestined as believers. Does everyone understand that? Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, 5, He predestined us to adoption. See, you weren't predestined to be this, but once you believe in Jesus Christ, you share the predestination of Christ through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Okay? Ephesians 1:11. In Him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, whose works all things after the counsel of His good will. 11, sealed. We're all sealed. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior is marked or stamped as one who belongs to God. Boom, done. And that is forever. Also, the believer is said to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. People, every one of you, every believer, I don't care if they're 5 or 6, 7 years old, or in their 40s and 80s. You believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're sealed. Now, you may not live that way. You may not even know it. They may not know it. But you are sealed, marked by Christ. This seal is important to your daily life. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. See, you have the Holy Spirit. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Grieving the Holy Spirit is right out sinning. Quenching the Holy Spirit is when you decide you're going to be really good in the flesh. That isn't going to work either. And then finally, 12, promised. We have been promised eternity with the Lord and an eternity reunited with believers. You got any parents, friends who are believers? You'll be with them again. You'll see them again and know that they're believers. And what the good truly joy of that is, anything bad is all forgotten. It's all over. It's all grace and wonderful things. Okay. Most important promise that we possess is the promise from God, the eternal life. Titus chapter 1:2, in the hope, the confidence of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago. 1 John 5:25, this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. People like to say, I promise I'll do this. But no, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't know. I'll do my best. That's about the best we can say. I can do my best at it, but I cannot promise this. Christ, God, promises. He is the only one, does not lie. Chapter 2 coming up. Now, sinners, on the church, universal, but let's be sure we fully understand chapter 1. Verses 3 through 14, Paul clearly gives many ways in which we are privileged being members of the family of God. 2, in such a busy world, we take our relationship with God for granted. Where we are today, take too much for granted. And 2, do not do this, for we have been given through Jesus Christ. So many people not take the relationship with God for granted. They just take it for granted. No big deal. But people, I hope you're important and thinking in the Jesus of God all the day. Of Jesus Christ and of God. 3, if, when we realize how blessed we are in to be a Christian, it should impact us in the way we think of ourselves, as well as our lives, both here and eternity. And 4, it should also influence the way we approach the appreciation, our relationship with God Himself. And finally, 5, this increased appreciation of God and of Christ should result in a greater prayer life in your own life. And pressed on to the maturity, to the knowing of the Word of God, and then 3, greater compassion for the lost, telling others who Jesus Christ is. All right, let's close in prayer. Got a lot of things we went through, Father. Pray that your Spirit separate them in our souls. Bring this to reality to everyone's life and mind and thinking. There's so much to know and to understand. But I pray, Father, that you will allow these people to have the enlightenment of Christ and of God in their life. Father, pray for the people we've prayed for. Pray for this assembly, for everyone in this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.